Am I on? Okay. Praise God. Well, I just want to thank Pastor Katie and Pastor Tim for allowing me this opportunity. You know, it's so awesome that we're pulling together as a family to allow Pastor to be able to serve, you know, because his first priority is here. And so when we all pull together as a family and help him out, it allows him to be a blessing elsewhere. And that's so wonderful because, you know, we never get to a point where we stop serving. You know, Pastor's not out there just having, you know, sipping tea and having vacation. He's out there to be a blessing and to serve, you know, and to set a foundation for all of us to follow. And so, you know, sometimes we kind of get this mindset that, well, once you get a title, you're exempt from serving or something, you know, because we see people chasing them around and helping them out and stuff. And so people just get weird ideas sometimes. And, you know, but just remember that he's just like us, and he's serving God. And even when he's here, he's giving his life for you. You just don't see it that way. And so sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. And, you know, I'm just grateful for the opportunity to share the word with you and to help by serving my pastor so he can, you know, fulfill what he's supposed to be doing too. And so I'm real excited about that. Amen? Well, I've done my part. God's done his part. So it's up for you guys to do your part and be hungry and pull on the word today. Amen? Glory to God. If you want to turn with your Bibles, we're going to start over in Isaiah. The Lord laid it on my heart to talk to you today about the new standard. You know, the word standard has a lot of meanings to it. In the simplest form, you know, it's an expectation. You know, it's what's expected of us. It's also a representation of authority. And the best way when the Bible uses the word standard, it breaks it down into meaning a flag or a banner or a symbol. And so I was thinking about that, and the best illustration I could think of that everybody would know, sitting in this room, you wouldn't have any doubts, is the American flag. You know, the American flag represents some things, you know. It represents America, it represents our freedom, our liberties. You know, when we see the flag, we don't think, oh, well, those are really nice stripes. That's not what we think of. Why? Because it represents something. It has meaning to us, even if it is just a piece of fabric. It has meaning. It represents something. And so I want you to just keep that in mind when we talk about this, because the Lord, you know, over throughout the Old Testament in Numbers, he broke down and he told the people everywhere they traveled to set up camp. And he would tell them a certain way that they were supposed to set up their camps. The Levites, you know, were the priesthood, and so they were the ones protected, and they could set up the camp all around them. But each camp had to set up their own standard, and that was their flag, their symbol. And often it was to show them a place of safety and refuge, so they would know where to go. They would know where their help was at, where their own company was at. They knew where to end up, you know. So when they'd go out to war, they knew when they came back where their company was by the flag or the standard that was set up for them. And so when we pick this verse up in Isaiah 49, verse 22, the Lord is speaking here through the prophet. Give you a second to get there. Glory to God. It says, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles, and I will set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring my sons in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders." And so right here, what the Lord is declaring, he says, I'm going to bring a new standard to the Gentiles, all the people who are not necessarily God's elect. You know, we know that the Jews are God's chosen people. And so the rest of us were just kind of left out. And so, but God said, I have a plan, and I'm going to set up a new standard. And, you know, how many of you know what that new standard is? He sent Jesus. Jesus is our new flag, our new banner, our new representation. And so we're going to learn about that today. He said it again just a couple pages over I'm actually going to have them bring this one up in the Message Bible because I like the way it brings it out in Isaiah 62:10. It says, walk out of the gates, get going, get the road ready for the people, build the highway, get at it, clear the debris, hoist a high flag, a signal to all the peoples. Go ahead and go to the next verse. Yes, God has broadcast to all the world, tell daughter Zion, look, your Savior comes, ready to do what he said he'd do, prepared to complete what he promised. You know, I know Pastor Michael from the Fredonia Church, you know, the founding father of this church, his heart is to prepare us. You know, and that's what this verse says. It says, get ready. The Savior's coming. You know, now the Savior has come and redeemed us, but he's still coming again. And so we still have a work to do, a preparation. You know, it said, clear off the highways, clean up the debris, clean up your life, get ready, because the Savior's coming again, and we need to be ready. Amen? And so we're going to talk about that today, because it's real easy to just say that and get excited about it, but we need to know how to do that. You know, I remember coming into the church, and I wanted to serve God. I wanted to, you know, I'd look at Pastor Katie and Pastor Tim, and I want to love God like them, but I had no idea where to start or how to do it. And, you know, we need to get the ball rolling in some things. And sometimes we'll just get real status quo and stay in the place that we're at, you know, and be like, well, we come to church and we hear the word and, you know, we've made little adjustments, but God doesn't really care about those little things that I haven't dealt with yet. Well, I want to tell you that that's not what the word says. And so we're going to look at that because we need to know. You know, and the Bible says that his people perish for a lack of knowledge or the things that we don't know about. You know, and so often the world will give us wrong ideas, wrong ways of thinking, and we just roll with it. We just keep that wrong thinking going and going and going, and we don't adjust to it. And so we need to make those adjustments, and we're going to learn how. The first thing you need to know, if you don't already know this, you don't have to turn there, we'll just bring it up, is we need to know for sure how we do this. So John 14:6, it says, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, that word way, it means I'm the highway. Yeah. I'm the highway. If you want to get to where you need to go, I'm the highway. I'm the path you have to take. The only way you're going to get there is if you get on my road. The only way. There's no other road that's going to take you there. This is it, right here. Jesus is speaking. In my Bible, it's red. It means he said it. And so we need to pay attention to that because we already saw that God spoke through the prophet and said, I'm sending you a new standard. He's the Savior of the world. That's your standard. That's your flag. That's your camp. Remember when we were talking about the Israelites, they knew where to go by where their flag was. So we know where to go by where our flag is, where our Christ is. And he says, I'm the highway, I'm the path. You got to come through me. There's no other way. There's no other way. You're not going to get there any other way. You can, you know, so many people will say things like, well, the Bible's really up for interpretation. No, it's really not. If you didn't read it right and you didn't study it, then it doesn't mean that your interpretation of it is okay. It just means you didn't do your homework. It just means you didn't have a good pastor. It just means, you know, you didn't follow through with that. And, you know, sometimes we just want to use that as the easy way out. We want to be like, well, you know, the Bible didn't really mean that because it's not working in my life. Well, is it not working in your life because the word doesn't work or because you're not really working the word? You know, because the word works. It always works. And if it's not working, then you need to check up and find out why, because it's never on God's end. Amen. That's right. Amen. So what I want to talk to you about, first of all, is that, you know, we call ourselves Christians. You know, that's our title, part of our banner, part of our emblem that we wear. We're in Christ. And so when we put something on, a lot of times it will represent something. You know, a police officer, if you see him out on the street and he's in his uniform, you know who he is. Why? Because he has something on. You know, he has a uniform on. If you were to see a soldier, you would know what nation he's a soldier for by the uniform he wears, because different soldiers from different nations have different uniforms. They have different insignia, you know, but you know they're a soldier just by the uniform, and then you further define it from there. Well, the Bible tells us over and over and over again that we need to put on Christ. And so we're going to look at that and see what that looks like and see how to put on Christ and what it should look like, because the Bible tells us over and over again. So let's go and check that out. Amen. If you could turn in Galatians chapter 3 for me. Because he says put on. Well, put on means to put it on. It's not real hard to understand. We all understand what that means. We put on our clothes every day. You know, I put on makeup. I know what that means, to put on. It means I actually physically do something. So we need to put on Christ. So Galatians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 26. For you are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We know that to be true. We know that the only way to receive Jesus is by faith. You know, the Bible says that, you know, it's by faith. Flies are attacking our front row. For as many of you, in verse 27, have been baptized unto Christ, have put on Christ. So by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, by making that acknowledgement that you need him, you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, it says you've put on Christ. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Isn't that so awesome? It doesn't matter what walk of life we came from. You know, there's some religions and out there that, you know, women are treated like dirt. Well, I'm glad that the Bible says it doesn't matter that I'm a woman, I can still be in Christ. You know, it doesn't matter that whether I'm white or black, whether I'm from a different nation, that, you know, an Asian nation that, you know, has tons of people who don't even worship God, but I can still be saved even if I'm Asian. You know, it doesn't matter what nationality I'm from, what country I'm from. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. It's available to all of us. And so that was so good of God. You know, you can see that in other religions where, you know, they really put down, you know, this nationality or that. It's a closed group. You can't just walk in off the street and be part of their group. Well, isn't that so good of God? We can just walk in off the street, whatever walk of life we've come from, whether we've walked in poverty our whole life or we walked in wealth all our life, whether we walked on this side of the street or that side, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can just come in and be part of Christ's family. He said, you're all welcome. And then verse 29, and it says, and if you be Christ, so regardless of where you came from, regardless of anything that's in your past, you came to Christ, then you are Abraham's seeds and heirs to the promise. Isn't that so good? So good. It doesn't matter where you came from. Now that you're here, now that you came through the doors, now that you put on Christ, you have a promise. You have a promise. You get all the promises of Abraham because now you're part of that family. You know, he signed the new birth certificate. Here you go. It's all new. It's all new. You're Christ now. Glory to God. We're going to go over. We're just going to hit this home. We're going to see it over and over and over in the Word because we need to know that it's for us. Go ahead and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. You know, the beautiful part about the Word is he didn't just tell us one time anything. It's always in there over and over again because we need that repetition. You know, we need to hear it over and over again. We need to know that we didn't misunderstand it, too. You know, he's like, listen, it's not open for interpretation. I told you 5 different times, you know, in the same way. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, isn't it so good that it says be strong in the Lord? It doesn't say be strong in your flesh. Don't be strong on your own. Be strong in your job. Be strong. No, it says be strong in the Lord. And that's so nice of him that you know, we don't have to carry all that ourselves. We don't have to bear all that ourselves. You know, he said, listen, I've even provided the strength you need for it. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God, that you would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, people aren't your problem. People aren't your problem. So many times you'll see people just being cranky and nasty and horrible with each other. Listen, they're really not your problem. They're not the ones that are, you know, they're just being influenced because they don't know any better. Because no one's ever prayed for them. No one's ever showed them the love of God. And you're just, ready to lash out on them. Listen, it's not that personal. It's really not that personal. You know, they need to know that someone else loves them. You know, they're just giving into the pressures of the enemy. You know, so just remember that. People aren't your problem. Verse 13, we could preach weeks and weeks on the armor of God, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you would be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Verse 14 starts off, stand. Therefore, and it tells you how you're going to stand, you know. It doesn't matter how much pressure you think you're under. Just keep standing. Just keep standing. Just keep standing. Remember, you didn't have to stand in your own power anyway. At the beginning of this passage, he told us, I'll provide the power. I'll provide the might. All you have to do is stand in it. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to go to the gym and get real buff to do it. No, just trust in my power. Trust in my strength. And so then he tells us how. He says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, we learned a lot about that last week with Reverend Tony, talking about how we are right, you know, and how we walk in that. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In the Amplified, it says, firm-footed stability. Just be stable. You know, don't be tossed to and fro and, you know, well, I think I'm healed. Well, no, I'm not. Oh, my gosh. Ooh. You know, oh, I think I'm blessed. Oh, no, I'm not. And you're going back and forth. Just be stable. Yes. Just be stable. Let the word be true. Yes. Whatever the word says, it's true. Yes. It's true. This is your answer. Yes. I don't have to go back and forth. I don't have to, well, out there in the world, they say this. But in here, wait, which way should I? Right here. Yes. This is your stability. Yes. Firm-footed stability. Yes. Amen. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, because remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. It doesn't say wait for it to come falling out of the sky and hit you in the head. It says take it. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Who else is the word of God? Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Yes. Jesus is the Word. So all you have to do, above all, have faith that Jesus is who he says he is. Yes. That's another way we could say that, right? Yes. Above all, just have faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And you put him first. Yes. You let him march out first, and you just go right behind him. Let him clear the path. Let him take care of all the destruction. You just walk right behind him. Like, that's right, he's got it. You see that? Yep, I'm just going to walk right behind him. Let him clear the path for me. I don't have to do it on my own strength. I don't have to do it on my own might. I just had to put him on. That means I let him go first. I trust him. I obey him. I just get right behind him. He's like, I'll take care of all of it. You know, but it's your job to take it. It's your job to take that initial step and say, Jesus, I want you. And so many times we've been saved for a while, and so we kind of forget that. And we say, well, yeah, I'm saved. But are you taking him and applying him to every area of your life? Because he cares about all of it. There's not any area that he's like, well, I'll just ignore that. I'll just ignore that for your sake. You know, you're special. You don't have to address that. No, that's not true. That's not true, because he can't work for you. He can't clear that path if you're not making him the Lord of all your life. All of it. He's not interested in just being your Sunday friend. He doesn't want you just one day a week. He wants you every day, all day, 24/7. He wants to be the Lord of your life. He doesn't, you know, and, you know, I'll tell on myself a little bit. You know, there was a situation recently that I had never vocalized it. I had never actually vocalized the pressure that was coming against me. I'd never actually said it out loud to anyone. But I hadn't been rebuking the thoughts the way I should either. I was just letting the enemy kind of chit-chat in my ear, and I just wasn't really dealing with it. And, you know, my pastors pulled me aside and said, you know, we know you've been dealing with that. And they said it, like, verbatim, like, I knew what was going on, and I was like, oh, that's right. Even though I hadn't necessarily been telling the whole world about it, God knows all. God knows, and the reason, you know, it wasn't that God was tattletaling on me or something, it was hurting me.
Sure.
It was hurting my life, it was hurting the plan of God for my life, and so it needed to be addressed. And so because I wasn't addressing it, God had to send someone else to remind me, hey, you need to talk to the enemy about this and tell him to shut up. You know, you need to get him quiet and not be taking those thoughts. You know, but it was such a reminder for me that there's not any area of my life that God's not interested in. You know, it was real easy to just think like, well, no one even knows what's going on, so it's not a big deal. And I'm not walking out any of those thoughts. I'm just, you know, whatever, you know. Maybe he's telling the truth, you know. Maybe somehow the devil changed his mind and decided to tell the truth for once, you know. You know, I'm just being real. It's real easy to slip into. We've all been there, you know. And so it reminded me, no, God knows all things. You know, I'm not hiding part of my life from him, and he's not aware of it. He knows all. And so he wants all. He wants all of you, not just part of you. You know, go back just, in my Bible is like 2 pages, to Ephesians 4. I just want you to see this over and over and over again, because we need to walk this out. Ephesians 4, I'm going to start in the 19th verse, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, in their spiritual apathy, they have become callous and past feeling and reckless, and have abandoned themselves a prey to unbridled sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity that they crave, that their depraved desires may suggest and demand. Verse 20, but you did not so learn Christ. Listen, if you're still struggling with obvious sins in your life, if you're still, you know, just getting beat up by the enemy, it's because you've calloused yourself. You haven't dealt with it when God dealt with you. You know, there's no formula for it. It's not like, well, the first thing you have to do is quit smoking. And after you quit smoking, you have to quit drinking. After you quit drinking, you have to quit drugging. There's no order. But God will reveal to you what is important for your life. You know, because it all has to go. We know that. But it's not a formula that you have to follow about walking out purity with God. Let him be your strength. Let him be your might. Let him guide you and direct you. And what happens is he'll deal with you. Listen, lay down the cigarettes. Lay down the booze. Lay it down. And what happens when people don't do that, they become callous to it. They become callous to it. And then they start giving in to other things. You know, maybe they pick up other habits that they didn't even have before because they're trying so hard to avoid what God's dealing with them about that then they're leaving themselves vulnerable on the other side, letting other things in because they've just calloused themselves and calloused themselves. But it says right here, but you didn't learn that from God. God didn't instruct you that way. God, that wasn't God's plan. You did not learn that. You did not learn that in church, you know. There's been times people say things like, well, pastor said it was okay. No, he didn't. You heard what you wanted to hear, and you put your own interpretation on that, because he did not say that. He didn't say it like that. Well, the Holy Ghost told me. Oh, okay. Okay, the Holy Ghost is telling you it's okay to stay in sin. I bet. Yep. because that matches the word. Come on, you know? He's trying to help you. Stop being so callous to it and just deal with it. God is never trying to take from you. You know, when God had to deal with me about, you know, laying down drinking and laying down drugging, it wasn't because he was trying to suck all the fun out of life. He was like, no, I just have so much more for you. But if you don't lay these things down, you can't get into more. And so, you know, sometimes we get this idea, and we, you know, we have to bring balance to it, is that, well, we're never going to be perfect. We're never, you know, we're never going to achieve perfection. And yes, that's true. We always have things we're working on. It's a continual process. But we can't just excuse our sin that way and say, well, I'm just human, so I can just drink and drug, and I can just screw up and go have a one-night stand and then come back and then go out and then come back. And then No, I can't. If I want to get the full blessing of God and receive from him all he has, I have to lay those things down. And he wouldn't be telling you to do it if it wasn't possible. You know, and that's why he said, listen, I know it sounds hard. That's why I said, don't use your strength. Don't use your might. Don't use your muscles to do it. Use mine. You know, put Jesus first, because then he'll clear the path. He'll clean that stuff out of your life, and it won't be so hard. It won't be so hard. But we try, we think like, well, I have to do it all by myself, all on my own, or God's not going to love me and all this stuff. It's all wrong thinking. It's all wrong thinking. We need him to clear the path for us. And we need to trust him and trust his word and put him on so that we can walk those things. You know, I'll tell this story. When I first got saved, I had only been saved maybe a month. And maybe it was a couple more months, but we were at a barbecue, and I was a smoker, and I was in love with the Lord. I'm still in love with the Lord, but it was fresh, you know, and I wanted to do right, but there was so much wrong in my life that it was a process. Sure. You know, it's a process for all of us. There was just so much. I had not grown up in church. I didn't know anything about God. You know, just I had sinned real bad for a real long time, so I had a lot of stuff to work through. And God wasn't really dealing with me about smoking right then, because there was so much other stuff that I just needed to address first. And so, but I still wanted to be right with God. You know, I knew it was coming, and I was at this barbecue, and I had just taken a drag of a cigarette, and this girl walked behind, like, around the building, and she was like, hey, don't I know you from family church? And I was like, oh, I just wanted to die. Like, just rapture me. Let me stop breathing. That was not how I wanted to be known because of God. I didn't want Jesus to be seen smoking a cigarette. I didn't want Jesus to be seen representing the church and my pastors and everything. That's how I was representing him at that moment. You know, and we have to get a hold of that we represent Christ, because we put him on. When we declare, Jesus, I need you as Lord and Savior. I need you to come into my life. I need you, you know, I believe in my heart. I receive you as Lord. We put him on. So now I'm wearing Jesus. And everywhere I walk and everywhere I talk and every person I see, I'm wearing Jesus. So how am I wearing him? Am I wearing him well, or am I disgracing him? You know, when I was standing there smoking that cigarette, I was not representing Christ well. And I knew it in my heart. I knew it with all my heart that wasn't right. That person didn't care. They didn't seem, you know, they weren't convicted by my conviction. You know, they were just like, you okay? You all right? You know, and I'm like, oh. You know, I swallowed the smoke and I squished the cigarette in my hand, burning it all. Like, I was so ashamed. And that's how it should be. But if I wouldn't have dealt with it, I would have become callous to the things of God. But that was my opportunity. God was dealing with me. You know in your heart you're not right. You know in your heart that you shouldn't be doing that, or you wouldn't have felt like that. So now's the time. Now's the time to lay that down. And that was my cue. What if I wouldn't have obeyed that? I can tell you I wouldn't be right here. I wouldn't be right here today. That was my cue to obey God, to lay that down, to move forward with the plan of God for my life. And so if there's something in your heart that God's dealing with you, it's because you already put him on. You're already wearing him. So now how are you wearing him? Are you wearing him well? You know, are you out there, you know, watching trashy movies, talking all kinds of junk? You know, are you out there, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, all this stuff, all kinds of drama, chaos in your life? Is that how you're wearing him? Because I'm pretty sure we were just looking at putting on stability, right? Walking in the stability of the word. That's what we were just talking about. So how are you wearing him? And it's not to bring condemnation on you if you're not wearing him well. It's to pull you up to a higher level so that you will wear him well, that you will walk and be a good representative of Christ. You know, my husband had done a demonstration before, and it just stuck with me as he took our pictures and put them in an envelope, and he wanted everyone to close their eyes and visualize how they would picture a billboard of Jesus. What would it look like? What would it look like if you were to see a billboard of Jesus? And then each person opened up their envelope, and it was themselves. Because we're in Christ, and we're representing him, and you are a billboard for Jesus, and how are you wearing him? Amen. Let's look at this some more. Colossians chapter 3. Just a few pages over. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 5. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. If you don't have the Amplified, they're going to have it up here. It says, "So kill, deaden, and deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses, and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin." Starve out sin. Just starve it out. You know, it's not that hard. If you're in an argument with somebody and somebody else walks in the room, you just cut it off, right? Save it for later, whatever, but you cut it off for that moment. Well, you do the same thing with sin. You just cut it off. You just cut it off. Starve it out. Starve it out. Sexual vices, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness. For that is idolatry, the deifying in self and other created things instead of God. If you're not willing to lay down your sin, if you're not willing to deal with the things that God is dealing with you, it's because you love you more than you love him. It's because you love you, and you're not really caring about how he feels. But he paid a heavy price for you. He loved you so much, he gave everything he had for you. The least you could do is starve out sin. The least you could do is starve out sin. Verse 6, it says, "It's on account of these very sins," all the things he listed above, "that the holy anger of God is ever coming upon the sons of disobedience, those who are obstinately opposed to the divine will." Those who absolutely will refuse God, you know, they're bringing wrath upon themselves. And it says, "among whom you once walked," when you were living and addicted to such practices. I was there. I once walked that path. You know, and it's real easy to, you know, people will criticize, "I can't believe they did that. You know, I can't believe they took their kid to that place," or "I can't believe they said that." Listen, we all walked in that. Don't be so hoodwinked that you think you weren't ever there. Because before Christ, I wasn't making good choices. I sure wasn't. But now, verse 8, "but now, put away and rid yourselves completely of all these things." Just put them away. Anger, rage. This one I meditate on all the time. Bad feeling towards others. Bad feelings towards others. That's pretty specific. Sure. You know, you wake up in the morning, maybe you go to the office, and you're like, "I can't stand that person." Bad feelings towards others. Better address it. Sure. Better deal with it. Right. He's telling you right there, listen, put it away. Right. Curses and slander, foul mouth abuse, shameful utterances from your lips. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, for you've stripped off the old, unregenerated self. When you got saved, you took off the old man.
Right.
Verse 10, and have clothed yourself with the new spiritual self.
Yes.
The new spiritual self.
Yes.
That's what we put on when we accepted Christ, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded. So it doesn't ever quit. We're always working more. We're always striving more to be like Christ. You know, I'm still working. I'm still a work in progress. I haven't arrived. You know, and just because I'm preaching real hard on natural sins, God says he'll hold us more accountable for spiritual sins. So when I don't deal with those bad feelings towards others, and I don't deal with, you know, the way I'm talking to people, and I don't deal with those kinds of things, I'm still held accountable. You know, so I'm still a work in progress. You know, we don't ever quit. You know, but it says that we desire to be renewed and remolded into a fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image and likeness of him who created it. So our goal is to strive to be more and more like Christ. We already have him on. We just want to walk that out. We want to, you know, make sure we're being a good image of him, you know. In verse 11, again, it tells us the same thing. It says, and in this new creation, when you're in Christ, when you're saved, when you're born again, all distinctions vanish. There's no room, and there can be neither for Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, nor difference between nation, whether alien, barbarian, Scythians, who are all most savage of all, nor slave or free man, but Christ is all in all. He's all in all. So again, it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter. So many times people have this sob story. Well, I came from this broken home. I came from this, you know, horrible place. I went through all this stuff. You'll never understand. I don't have to. The Bible says if you're in Christ, there's no room for all that stuff. There's no room for all that baggage of your past. There's no room for it. Check it at the door. You know, Pastor Brad, he had shared a message a while ago over in the house when we had Pillars of God, and he was talking about baggage. And he was talking about coming up to the door with all your luggage, and you're trying to get through, and you're hitting your hands on the door, and you can't understand why you can't get through. Just let go. Let go of all that baggage from your past. Let go of, well, I grew up in this culture, in this location, you know, I'm inner city or I'm country or I'm this, or it doesn't matter where you came from. I don't care how hard you had it or how easy you had it. It really doesn't matter. There's no room for that in Christ. There's no room for that in Christ. It says it right here. There's no room for that. There's no room for it. There can be no distinction. You're just Christ. You just belong to him. That's it. That's the only distinction that you have, because that's what separates you from the world. When you're still wearing all your past hurts and all your failures and all the things that weighed you down from your childhood or your early adult years or whatever, all that stuff, now you're saying, see, world, I'm still looking like you. I'm still part of the world. But if you're Christ, you lay down all that, and now they see you, and they're like, wait, you're not like me. You're different than me. What is it about you that's different? And then it's like, no, I'm Jesus's. That's right, I am different. And they can be like, but you grew up on the same street as me, in the same neighborhood I did. I saw your parents fighting and screaming with each other. I saw what was going on in your home. How can that be? Because I'm not mine. There's no room for the distinctions anymore. There's only room for Christ. That's all. I don't have time for all that distinction. I don't have time for all those differences. All I have time for is Christ. He's what I represent. I don't care what street I grew up on. I don't care what past I came from. It doesn't matter. It doesn't define who I am. He defines who I am. Glory to God. Glory to God. And you know, he said in his word, he told us how to walk those things out. You know, because if we do this principle that he's going to show us in the Word, it will be easy to lay aside all those distinctions. You know, so let's go ahead and turn there. Let's turn to John 13, kind of shifting gears a little bit here. But, you know, we're required to lay down our past and pick up and run with God. You know, over there in Hebrews, it talks about lay aside those sins and weights that so easily beset us. You know, not everything that we are holding on to is necessarily a sin. Sometimes it's just the, you know, I don't want to forgive so-and-so for all the hurt they caused me as a child. You know, I don't want to forgive my parents for getting a divorce and doing all this stuff. You know, I don't want to forgive, you know, whatever. That's a weight that's holding you back. It's holding you back. You know, sometimes it could just be habits. You know, for me personally, I like soda. You know, but there's been so many times I'll go through long fasts where God will just tell me, lay it down. Why? Is it a sin to drink pop? No, it's not a sin. But because I like it a lot, God wants to make sure it doesn't have my heart. You know, and so if you drink soda, I'm not telling you, you can't, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, just an example, just a little thing. Because it's the little, you know, the little foxes that spoil the vine. And also, he who's faithful in the least is faithful in much. So I have to practice in the little things, so then when I have bigger things, I'm skillful in starving out that sin, starving out those addictions, starving out those things that want to pull me from God. Why? Because I've practiced in the little things. You know, and so what are the little things that you can starve out, that you can practice, so that when big tests and trials come, you know, we're not foolish to that. God even told us in the Word. He said, tests and trials are coming. They're going to come. They're going to come knocking at your door. But if you're wearing God, if you're wearing Christ, and you're walking in the fullness of him, you're going to walk right through them. But if you've been too busy watching TV, playing video games, you know, out with your friends, whatever, instead of doing anything with God, and you're like, well, I showed up for church. I mean, it was 5 minutes late, but I was there. I was there. I know I fell asleep during service, but I was there. You know, just give God your best. You know, lay these things down. You know, the people that you look up to, that you admire, that come to this church, is because they've done that. You know, it's because they're continually, all the time, what else can I change, God? What else can I do? What would please you more? You know, where could I improve? Because we don't get there overnight. We don't just walk in the door and be like, okay, I'm going to go through this air blaster and it's just going to blast all the bad stuff off and now I'm a new person. No, we have to do our part. You know, it said for you to put it on. You know, it doesn't just automatically happen. You have to choose. You know, every time you walk up to that cigarette, you have to decide, am I going to put that in my mouth or am I going to walk away from it? You know, every time your friend calls you and says, hey, let's go to the bar, what are you going to do? That's your moment of truth. Am I going to choose Jesus or am I going to go with my friend? What am I going to do? You know, and each time it's your choice, but you have the ability, and if you choose God, he said, I'll clear the path. I'll provide the strength. I'll provide the might. I'll carry all the weight. All you have to do is choose. Glory to God. Well, I had you turn over to John 13. He's going to tell us right now how we choose. What empowers us to choose? What does it look like? John 13. Helps if I'm on the right page. Verse 34, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Right there, that's our answer. Listen, Jesus had a choice to go to the cross or not to go to the cross. Right. He was a man just like us, human just like us. You know, so many times we think, well, he was God, but he laid down that deity. He laid down the deity to be human, so he would have to make that choice in human flesh just like you. And so he had the choice. He could have said, you know what? You know, even when he was tempted to call down the angels of heaven to deliver him. You know, It was a temptation to say, you know what? I don't want to go through this hardship. When I quit smoking, it wasn't the easiest thing I'd ever done in life. You know, there was a tug on my flesh to say, no, I'm going to keep doing it. Does it really matter? Maybe I should do it. Maybe it won't really be that big of a deal. There's still that tug. You know, we saw that over there in Colossians. It said the animal impulses, the natural carnal man that wants to be loud, that wants to pull you a certain way. I was still had the temptation to be pulled that way, but I had to decide that God was more. He was tempted just like us. He said, you know what, even though I'm tempted, I love you enough, I'm going to do it anyway. I love you enough, I'm going to take that anyway. I love you enough that I'll bear it all. And so I love him enough that I can say nice things to people. I can think good things about people. I can lay down those carnal things that come against me. I can just lay them down. Choose to do other things. I can bless them instead of curse them. Why? Because Jesus chose. He chose and he said, listen, this is the commandment that I give you, that you love the way I love. And it doesn't matter, you know, he's like, I told you, it didn't matter whether you were Jew or not. It didn't matter if you were circumcised or uncircumcised. It didn't matter. I didn't care what nationality you were. I didn't care if you were rich. I didn't care if you were poor. I didn't care. I told you over and over and over in my word, I didn't care as long as you came to me. And so isn't that's how we do it. That's how we walk through temptations. I don't care. You know, I'm not going to be mean to you. I'm not going to be out to hurt you. I'm not out to get you. You know, and even with our own selves. Even with our own selves. Listen, I'm not out to hurt myself. I'm not out to get myself. I'm not out to beat myself up. Why? Because Jesus loves me. And sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. You know, because we'll bring all that condemnation on ourselves and we'll just beat ourselves up. Well, I'm such a horrible, rotten person. No, God loves you too. You know, and it's real easy to tell other people that. It's so easy, you know. We go through and we're like, listen, you don't know Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. He's so good. He loves you. He forgives you. All this stuff. And then we look in the mirror and we're like, I screwed up so bad. God's never going to forgive me. When did the word not apply for you? We do it all the time. We slip into that, you know. You got to pull yourself back out and say, no. If the word works for an unsaved person, the word works for me. I'm God's child. He loves me. You know, that's why Pastor has us say all the time that we're highly loved, highly blessed, highly favored. You know, that's why he stands up here and he says, I'm God's favorite. It's not to make you mad. It's to let you know that you can be God's favorite too. And to let you know that you don't have to go home beating yourself up day in and day out, day in and day out. You know, and sometimes we'll look at our life and we'll be like, well, I heard a word like this, and here's my big, huge laundry list of all the stuff that's wrong. I'm never going to make it. I might as well just quit. No. No, this isn't to bring condemnation. This is to bring you up. God's dealing with you about stuff. Lay it down. Lay it down. Lay it down. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, he said, I'm going to have you turn to a bunch of script. Or, well, we'll just bring them up for time's sake. You don't have to turn there. But this is how we know if we're his. This is our litmus paper to know if we're in Christ or we're not. You know, John 14, verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll do this. If you love Jesus, you'll do these things. If you love him, you won't want to stay where you are. You know, I've heard other people say it, you know, time and time again, you know, that when they got saved, something drastic happened in their lives. You know, and they've said, I have to question people who say I'm saved, and they've never changed a single thing. They're exactly the same as they were 20 years ago, and not one little thing has changed. I have to question that. Because he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know, and he says it again, down in verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. So if you know my commandments, which now you've heard the word, you know, if you're a regular attender here, you know these truths. You know them. We're fed real good around here. You know, so there's no excuse about the not knowing. And so, and he says, but if you keep them, then you love me. So if you're not keeping them, you better check up on your heart. because maybe you're not really in love with him like you say you are. And then he goes on to say, and he says, he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. We get real excited when the preacher gets up here and talks about how God's going to show himself strong to you. Yeah, glory to God. I'm so excited for that manifestation. Well, are you keeping his commandments? Or are you walking out the door, lighting up, going home, beating your dog, cussing out your kids? What are you doing when you leave here? You know, it's real easy to put on a real cute churchy smile, be all nice to people. In here, the first person that says something to you at the grocery store line, you're like, why are you talking to me? Rah! I can't believe they're in line ahead of me. Rah! You know, and I'm like, oh my gosh. But is that how you are? How are you? When you leave these doors, who are you? Because right here is how you know if you love Christ. Because he said, listen, you've been taught the word. You have what you need. Now, if you go out of here and you just totally ignore it, disregard it, then I can't manifest myself to you. I can't bring you all the blessings and all the promises of Abraham. I can't bring them because you're not showing me that you love me. Because I'm telling you, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll keep my word. If you don't believe me yet, let's keep going. John 15:10. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So right here he tells us, he said, if you want to know how I endure the cross, if you want to know how I've managed to live on this life and not sin, it's because I abide in his love. So if you want to walk out this life and you want to live for God and you want to show yourself strong and say, yes, Jesus is mine, I'm wearing him, I'm a good representative, stay in his love.
That's right.
Because that's where the strength is. That's where the power is. And he says, again, if you love me, you'll do my word.
Right.
You know, if you're still not convinced, let's look at it again. 1 John 5:2. By this we know that we love God. I'm sorry, by this we know that we love the children of God. We love God's people. When we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God. For this is it. Right here. What I'm about to say is what his love is. That we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. I'm not asking you to do anything horrible and hard. You don't have to go home and cry about it. It's not bad. I'm telling you right now, it's not bad. But if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. One more. 2 John 1:6. And this is love. This is it right here. That we walk after his commandments. So do you think it matters to God that we just go on living any old way we want, doing whatever we want to do? And just saying, well, I'm just human. You know, I heard Pastor Nancy Dufresne say, she said, why? Why are you just human? And everyone kind of laughed, like, what does she mean, why? And she's like, why? Why are you human? You have Jesus. Jesus is not human anymore. He's supernatural. He walks through walls. He's victorious. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Why? Why are you still human? Put on the supernatural. Put it on. You don't need to just be human anymore. Be supernatural. Put on Christ. It's available to each and every one of us. Amen? Well, I think he's shown us in his word over and over what we need to do. He's made it very clear that if we love him, we'll do this word. We'll get the job done. We'll get ourselves ready. Because we're not being a very good witness bringing people in if we're still just all caught up in ourselves and all our stuff and all our baggage, because we can't even get through the door. We got hands full of stuff, and we're like, oh, I can't even get through. We have to lay these things down so that we can run at a faster pace to go out there and reach the lost. You know, it's real good that we have Christ here, but are we so selfish that we're not going to share it with the rest of the world that's dying out there that needs to know what someone cared enough to bring you into, that someone cared about you enough to say, listen, my Savior died for you just like he did for me. He paid the price for you just like he did for me. But if we're not laying this stuff down, we can't go out there and do that. Because why would I want to serve a God if I'm just going to be like you? I need to see Christ. I need to see a difference. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I hope you were fed today, and I hope you're encouraged to go out and, you know, make those adjustments in your heart. Love Jesus. Love Jesus. Pastor Brad?